One of our great temptations as part of our human nature is to become content. It's to think that everything's going just fine. That life is just kind of coasting along and we're kind of on just an easy path and we don't have to worry about too much. And so then we don't have to really put our full effort into things because things are going so well. Well, what inevitably happens is then a difficulty will arise. Something will happen to cause difficulty in our lives. And that easy path will become quite a bit more bumpy. We see this sometimes with our jobs. I think maybe most of us have been in this situation at one time or another, where we think, you know, our jobs are going well. It's going pretty easy. I've got it all, the work all figured out. I know how to do it. And we start cutting corners. And we stop maybe being as diligent about doing the job as we should. And what happens then is something will happen because of that. Some difficulty or some problem will occur within our job because we were being complacent, because we were allowing things to be corners to cut and so on. And we get in trouble for slacking off and might even lose our job because of it. It can happen in our relationships with others. And I think you see this a lot with spouses that end up in divorce, where they think the relationship is going just fine. And so they don't really work at continuing their relationship. They just kind of take the other person or the other people in their family for granted. And then another difficulty arises and they start arguing and fighting and there starts being problems in their relationship because they were not continuing to work on that relationship. They thought they had it all figured out. And they end up hurting each other and hurting their relationships with others, because they got complacent. The same thing can happen with our relationship with our Lord, is we can become complacent. We can become too content in the spiritual life and so allow the spiritual life to be kind of put on the back burner, to kind of think we can coast in the spiritual life. Just take it easy and we don't need to put a lot of effort into the spiritual life. The problem with that is, as Archbishop Fulton Sheen is quoted as saying, comprising what others have said before, there are no plateaus in the spiritual life. If we're not moving uphill, we're sliding downhill. We need to be constantly working in the spiritual life. We need to be constantly going forward in our spiritual life, or we're going to slide backwards. We're going to end up falling away from our Lord. We're either moving towards Him or falling away. There is no level ground, at least not here on earth. There will be in heaven. But here on earth, we really do need to be progressing in our spiritual life. We can't assume we've reached the end while we're here on earth. Otherwise, the spiritual life becomes less and less important. That's why our scriptures warn of the need for perseverance. And they warn in three ways that we need to persevere. We need to persevere in actively living our faith. We need to persevere in repentance from sin. And we need to persevere in evangelization. So the first one, persevere in actively living our faith. You know, we might be content in saying, you know, just as long as I'm going to Mass every week or so, I'm fine, right? That's all I need to do. And of course, no, it's not. Our faith needs to be nurtured. That's the message of the parable of the fig tree, is this fig tree was planted in some soil that maybe it wasn't the best soil. Maybe it wasn't good soil. And so it needs to be nurtured. It needs to be fertilized. Well, the same way with our spiritual life. We need to nurture it. We need to water it. We need to feed our spiritual life throughout our lives. So how do we do that? Well, we do it by living our faith, by receiving the sacraments of Eucharist and confession, by the devotional life, by prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, such as we do during Lent, by scriptural reflection, by study of church teaching, and on and on. There are so many ways that we can nurture our spiritual life, but we have to do it on a daily basis. We can't just assume that we can just, again, drift through life. But if we nurture that spiritual life, we will see fruit. It will lead to spiritual fruit in our lives. Second, perseverance in repentance from sin. Now, there are two major errors that I think people fall into with this one about the perseverance from repentance for sin. The first one is someone who will say, you know, I'm too bad of a sinner. I won't be forgiven. So they don't even try. They just give up. They think they've done too much and they've been too bad of a person that God won't forgive them. And then there's the opposite side where we can think we're too good. They'll say something like, well, I haven't done anything that bad. It's not like I've killed someone. And it's almost always that example. They don't say, well, I'm not that bad. I haven't dishonored my parents. I haven't stolen. No, it's I haven't killed someone. Well, there are other sins than murder that we need to repent from. So responding to the first one, our Lord says, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. You know, talking about those who died in our gospel today. If we don't repent from our sins, we will perish spiritually. And it doesn't matter how bad we are, we can still repent from them and we can still come back. God will forgive us. And then to those who say, I haven't done anything that bad, saying I'm too good of a person to need to repent, St. Paul says, whoever thinks he is standing secure should take care not to fall. We need to be constantly evaluating our lives where, yeah, we might not have any major sin in our lives, but we still have sin. We still commit sins. Most of us commit sins, even small ones, every day. And so we need to find those sins in our lives. Again, whether we've sinned a lot or sinned very little, we need to find those sins in our lives and repent from them. Seek the sacrament of reconciliation to repent from those sins so that we might, first of all, ask God's forgiveness, because sins ultimately are any action in word or deed that hurt our relationship with God. And so we need to seek that connection with God again through by asking for his forgiveness and then receiving his grace through the sacrament of confession to no longer sin again, to turn away from sin so that we will not continue to harm our relationship with God. And then third of all, perseverance in evangelization. Now, when I'm talking about evangelization, going out and proclaiming the good news of the gospel, I don't mean just non-Catholics. I don't mean just non-Christians. There are many, I would argue, that have received the sacraments, have received baptism, confirmation, first communion, confession, at least once, maybe even been married in the church, who have never been evangelized. They've been catechized, as some would say. They've been taught. They've gotten the head knowledge of what the church teaches. But they've never been evangelized. They've never heard and understood the good news of the gospel. That what we do here is because of Christ and his gospel, his message. And so we need to reach out to them to help them understand why those things that they received as children, those sacraments that they received, are so important, and why those sacraments should lead them to daily practicing their faith, not just when there's a big important event, Christmas and Easter and so on. We also have to, you know, reach out to those who have left the church to go to other churches where they understand the importance of a spiritual life, but they have left the sacraments behind to go somewhere else. We need to reach out to them and help them to understand why these are so important, how these play into that gospel message that we are called to proclaim. And then, of course, to those who aren't Christian, aren't baptized, we need to reach out to them and help and proclaim the good news of the gospel, the salvation that our Lord has promised us. Basically, we need to follow the example of Moses. You know, Moses went to the Israelite people, the people of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They knew who this God was, the one true God was. But were they following him? Were they worshiping the one true God? Or were they doing what is so much a part of human nature that they succumbed to the culture they lived in? They're in Egypt where they have a pantheon of gods. They have many gods, gods of the sun and gods of the moon, and gods of light, and gods of dark, and gods of rain, and gods of snow, and, you know, well, probably not snow, because it doesn't snow in Egypt very much. But they had all these gods, and they would worship each of these gods. Were the Israelites doing that? That's a temptation still in our world today. Now, we don't have a pantheon of gods. We don't have a god of the sun, and a god of the moon, and so on. But we do have false gods that are worshipped over the one true God. Money, materialism, stuff, power, recreation, sports. I'm sorry, but sports really is the first religion in Malta. And so on. There's all these false gods that we follow that lead us away from the one true God. No, these aren't gods with a capital G, but they're other things that lead us away from God. And so we need to go out and proclaim the good news that there is a one true God that should be over all things, even sports, and should receive our worship as often as we can, and that we need to work towards, because this is a God that can save us, unlike the others. So we need to persevere in evangelization and not just assume, oh, Father's going to do that. The religious ed teachers are going to do that. No, that's all of us. That's all of our job, is to go out and proclaim this good news. So may our scriptures today be a wake-up call that we need to persevere, to not be complacent in our spiritual life, but to persevere in actively living that faith life, in repentance for sin, and for evangelization, so that we may continue our journey that leads to our Lord.